Grace and peace to all of you in the name of Jesus the Christ. We welcome you to this service of worship on this, the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. It's been a long time, and heading toward Advent. Nonetheless, here in Mayflower, we are celebrating Consecration Sunday, and it will be a celebration. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I am joined, as usual, perhaps always, by our wonderful worship team, our production engineer, and all of you. And our liturgist today is Jerry Fuller. Our special musicians are none other than the Mayflower Chancel Choir. For the last 2 days at the Mayflower Church in Grand Rapids. Anybody ever been to the Mayflower Church in Grand Rapids? All right, I see at least one hand. It is a monster. It's one of the largest churches, at least in the traditional style, and we had a wonderful time. They hosted us. So for 2 years in a row, the annual meeting of the Michigan Association of Congregational Christian Churches was held at Mayflower Church. So when I got up to give my moderator's report, I said, it's nice to be here at the other Mayflower, and I made mention of the fact that they had such a puny facility after being here. And of course, that drew plenty of laughs, but it was a magnificent facility, and they were magnificent hosts to us. By the way, Jen Hall is your delegate, and she was with me. She's with her mother today, but it was a wonderful meeting, lots of good things happening. So, it is Consecration Sunday, and at the close of the service, those of you who have already prepared your pledge cards and would like to leave them here, but I want to emphasize two things, that you can pick up a pledge card if you cannot, or for whatever reason are not able to make a pledge of any kind. You can sign the card and say that you will be faithful in your attendance and prayer. But even if you don't have a card, we're going to march forward and then head for the Friendship Center today, where there'll be further breaking bread. And I understand there's a lot of good things happening there. So we'll join together. And remember, you are all part of the beloved community. So we will celebrate and consecrate together. Today, we also welcome three new members into our beloved community, Roy and Don Ketchison and Ted Wade, who have been active members in other congregational churches. So it doesn't take much to go from one congregational church to the other, but we will welcome them today. Art Ritter is not able to be with us today. He feels badly that he can't be here for the celebration, but he said that he thinks there will be plenty of things to do otherwise, and that'll be just sit down and eat and talk a little bit more than we usually do in our celebration. Another announcement, a very special announcement that I'd like to make, has to do with November 11th. What is November 11th? Oh my goodness. And how many veterans do we have here today? All right, veterans, do we have any surviving spouses? All right, all of you and others, and it will be advertised around the community, we can join and encourage you to join us for a service that is sponsored by the DAR, which, if you don't know, is the Daughters of the American Revolution. And if you'd like to find out a little more about that today, just ask Carol Dunn, who's here. And I met with Four wonderful, excited, enthusiastic members of the DAR, and our church has agreed to host the service, which will be here. Of course, if it's November 11th, the service is at 11 o'clock, and there'll be a reception to follow, and all the veterans will be honored, but there'll be special observances and pinnings for surviving spouses, and particularly those that served like many of you did during the Vietnam era, which technically is between 1953 and 1975. So put that on your calendar. You may even see it advertised on television. And when you see that it's going to be at the Mayflower Church, just go like this. Well, You saw it on the sign, you've seen it in the bulletin, and you wonder what in the world is all about tithes and taxes today. But some of you may remember something that Jesus said about that. That is our theme today, and it just so happens that that's in the lectionary. It wasn't particularly designed for today, but so be it. Let us now worship and celebrate.
Mayflower.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this Consecration Sunday. Here in the beloved community, we set aside 1 month each year to remind ourselves of God's blessings and to commit ourselves to invest those blessings into our church, our neighborhood, our community, and our world. We have heard wonderful and very personal stories from Steve, Char, and Jen about what Mayflower means to them. Today we will hear another from Wendy. At the close of this service, with our collective stories and journeys of faith in hand, we will commit ourselves to the new and great opportunities we believe God has laid before us. We trust this service will inspire each of us to celebrate and then consecrate the first fruits of God's blessings, which will reap a harvest of love, grace, and service to Christ. Join us as we celebrate and then consecrate in joyful worship. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
eternal God and our loving Lord, we have come into your house expectantly and joyfully as we do every Sunday. On this consecration Sunday, we pause to thank you for our blessings of growth and increase in the beloved community. We ask you to give us a renewed commitment of our time, talents, and treasures as we look forward to another year of service to Christ. Help us to love with wasteful abandon, serve with undaunted determination, and give with willing sacrifice. In keeping our theme, give us discretion in the use of your precious resources as we tend to the needs of our families, plan for the future, and pay our taxes. Remove our tendency toward cynicism in this hurting world as you grant us the bravery to live with hope, courage, and dedication in our call to love and serve each other, all in the name of Jesus the Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Being the last speaker isn't always the best. The reason for that is every week I've listened to the three speakers before me, and every time I said, rats, I was going to say that. So Bruce and I talked about it, and I said, well, maybe I should just summarize. So I'm choosing a different road. I'm going to talk about change and what happens when change occurs and what I've done with that. As some of you know, I was raised in the First Congregational Church in Saginaw, where my grandparents got married and my dad's two sisters got married, and Bruce and I were supposed to be married there. But as some of you know, our church burned 2 weeks before. And so my parents found another church for us to get married in, and we got married at St. Lawrence Lutheran Church in Frankenmuth. And if you think the Mayflower Church in Grand Rapids is big, you should see this one. It took two times for my dad and I to walk down the aisle. They gave us an hour, in and out, pictures, and we did that. Did it change things? No. We just said, that went well. Fast forward to when we met Pastor Bob Williams at Plymouth when we lived in Lansing then. And he shared with us that their church also burned. And they had all made a transition to a brand new church. So fast forward quite a few years, our children were both baptized there and our younger son was married at Plymouth. And as some of you know, all of you know, that over the past 12 years, many of us, this is the third church physically that we've been in. And change is hard to do. But I think Steve said it best the first week, is that when Mariana Foster and I walked in the door to test the waters, we thought, wow, everybody was really friendly, made us feel at home. I drove home and I told Bruce, I said, you've got to come with me. And he said the same thing. And it's a wonderful feeling to be able to, after this past 2 years, come here and be a part of doing the things that we love. And as many of you know, I love to cook, and Darlene calls me the spaghetti lady. And I am so blessed to be able to continue that work, and that's where I've met a lot of people. And you learn a lot about people when you cook with them for an hour. And I've made so many friends and so many other spaghetti ladies, and there's one spaghetti man. Frank knows who I'm talking about. And it was an honor to be able to do that. And when you get done, you say, this is something that we've made and people who need it are going to eat. And then Bruce as many of you know, loves to garden, and he has been so happy to be able to work in the garden out there, and I'm so proud of what he's done. I'm most happy to meet all new friends, but I'm also finally very grateful to see a lot of my friends from the past who've made this journey with me. Thanks.
Tangled up. Out of an abundance of caution, when I was with the large group this last week, or last 2 days, the mask. Well, it goes without saying today, really, what can we say about giving? We've had wonderful response to the giving of our lift. By the way, if you haven't seen it, take a peek in there. The glass blocks are in. They were working on redoing the roof this last week, and on Tuesday, the big hole will be in the wall. That'll happen. I think you'll see it next Sunday, and then very soon, our lift will arrive, and it shall be installed, and I hope to be the first on it, even if I don't need it, but you never know. So many of you, all of you, in some way, shape, or form, have contributed to the life of the church, and specifically into the regular budget. It's not very exciting just to give money and just into the general budget, but it's beautiful to see that faithful commitment on the part of all of you to whatever extent you are able. And then to be able to celebrate God's blessings. Not every church can celebrate the way we can this year, because in a very special way, I think we would all acknowledge And it's mysterious to acknowledge it, how we have arrived at special blessings from God. Not that those blessings are non-existent elsewhere, but very much a great celebration today. It will continue as we break bread together in our Friendship Center. So with that, as always, when we worship, we offer to God our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves in this holy act of giving to God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious, understanding Lord, we come to you knowing that we have no fear to reveal ourselves to you because you know us. You know each one of us. And in that, you love us no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter where we live, and no matter where we're going, you love us and care for us. And we pause to thank you for your good care upon our lives, upon our church, in so many ways. And then, Lord, we also know that there are times that we don't always understand when things go awry, when diseases come, when old age creeps, when people leave this world. Those things, Lord, we understand in the mystery of our faith, and yet, even then, we sense your love and your presence as you have promised always to be with us. Now, Lord, we always bring the needs of our world to you, and what we see on our television screens, not always shaped in a way that we might understand or agree with. But Lord, we, as partners with democracies on the world, are disheartened at the tragedy that has happened in Israel. And so we pray for those that have suffered and lost, and we pray for great wisdom and yet restraint as that tender box of conflict seems to be rising again. Lord, we also know for those that live crowded in a very small strip of land, in a place where there is no country, and a place where many people are simply trying to survive and are not happy about terrorists embedded that are doing evil things. In all of that, Lord, we pray for the hearts and lives of those who suffer. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace everywhere, including our own country, the peace in Congress, the peace in our community, and peace in our church as well as our lives. Grant us your peace today and always. Now, Lord, we pray in a special way that you would be with our new members that will join us officially today, already having been a part of the beloved community. May they sense and be affirmed today the certainty of our love and care as we are followers of the Lamb. We pray for special needs like David Mandra, and Daryl Mitchell and the family of Shirley and Eugene as they deal with Daryl's declining health. Now, Lord, we offer to you our hearts, and upon our hearts are the names of those that we know, love, and care for, some of whom we mention now. Lord, each of the names that have been mentioned, and those that have not been mentioned but lay deep within our hearts. You know every one of those people. You know their circumstances. And yet, Lord, we believe you respond to our prayers. So hear our prayers and answer our prayers. And yet we pray for the patience of unanswered prayer. Thank you for the privilege of gathering and praying together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Caught me off guard. If I'd have looked out and seen Roy and Don and Ted wondering what the deal is, well, here we go. I'm ready. Come on up, Roy, Don, and Ted. Face the congregation. Now, many of you know these people or have recently gotten acquainted with them. You also know, as I mentioned earlier, they have been active members of other churches, so they didn't have to attend a class or go through the kangaroo court, as nobody ever has to here at Mayflower in the congregational tradition. But with that, we share in covenant with one another. Pastor, people, members, staff, everybody together. And we begin. And I'll address you folks. How about that? Seeking membership in this church, do you accept the religion of love and service that Jesus taught and lived? To love God, and to love your neighbor as yourself, to make the Spirit of Christ dominant in your relationships, also recognizing that we are all human. We make mistakes, and sometimes we need to be forgiven and to offer forgiveness. Do you therefore covenant together with all the members and friends of Mayflower Church to prayerfully promote harmony, faithfulness, and unconditional love, accepting a share in its privileges and duties insofar as you are able, God being our helper? If you respond positively, you would say, I do. All right, that's a good thing. Now, we have just as much responsibility as those folks do, as they've committed themselves. We now commit ourselves to them, and here is our response that we share together. We rejoice with you and joyfully receive you into membership and fellowship. We pledge our Christian love as you have promised us. We humbly pray to God that both you and we may be true to this covenant forever. Through Jesus the Christ. Amen. And I'll ask our lay leader, Ruth Posh, if she would come forward and give them their certificates. I'm going to withhold just a little bit, just in the abundance of caution, but Ruth will shake your hand to the right hand of fellowship, and they will share together our Mayflower covenant. And that, folks, is called the right hand of fellowship. But you can use your left hand, too, if you want. And trust that you'll have an opportunity a bit later to greet them and welcome them in personally. And now we share together, and I think we'll ask those that can to stand as we share our Mayflower Covenant. We are banded together as a Christian church to maintain the worship of God, to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to develop a sense of our relationship and duty to God and our fellow persons, and to be an inspiration for love, truth, and passion for righteousness and enthusiasm for service. To this end, we pledge our loyalty to Christ and covenant with each other to strive to express Christ's spirit in our individual and corporate lives, to live together as Christians, and to submit ourselves to the government of this church, working, giving, praying for its increase, its purity, its peace, and seeking in every way to make it a power for the building up of the kingdom of God. Now, if you're happy about these members joining today, we can join together in a round of applause. Well, I can tell you, Ted and Don and Roy, it seems like they're happy. And we hope you're happy too. God bless each one of you. All right. You may be seated. Thanks, Barb.
Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Flattery got the opponents to Jesus nowhere. In a trap designed to get Jesus into trouble with the occupying Romans, Jesus waded into an intersection of faith and politics. His answer to the tricky question of paying taxes to the unoppressive government gives us much to ponder as we think about the competing forces to our loyalty to Christ. Hear now these words. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" And they answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give, therefore, to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, you couldn't avoid it, neither can we. The intersection sometimes of politics, religion, and faith. So help us now. Give me discretion. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. In all the New Testament, this narrative, more than any other, puts Jesus squarely into the dangerous territory of politics and religion. Do any of you recognize the dangerous territory of that? Jesus engaged those who were called Herodians and Pharisees, who together rarely agreed with each other, and who collaborated only when it suited them both. It was a competition for power They banded together, unusually so, and they tried to trap him. It didn't work. Jesus' words, wit, and wisdom on the sensitive subject of taxes and tithes will do us some good because we modern-day Americans constantly complain about taxes. Never did I realize this more than when I was a tour guide for all those years, meeting people from all over the world who listened and frequently commented on how much Americans complained about taxes. And I'll never forget one time a man stood up after there was this big discussion between people from different states about what the tax structures were, and he stood up and he said, "I just have something to say." He said, "I live in a country where I pay 70% of my income to the federal government." And the Americans were like, "Are you kidding me?" And then he went on to say, and I'm just reporting what happened. He said, "I'm happy." He said, "My kids have all gone to college. I didn't have to pay anything." He said, "I'm covered 100% with health care for me and my family." And he said, "I live a happy, productive life." There wasn't one more word about taxes on the bus. Never forget that. Now let's face it. We could have a discussion that would last for hours if we gave all of our opinions about our $33 trillion debt, how we got there, our tax structure, and then offer our opinions about spending priorities and what cuts we would make and what sacrifices we would endure if indeed we were in charge. We wouldn't agree. We would have a lot of different opinions. I can simply say this from my perspective. We expect more from our government than we are willing to pay for. But that's a discussion for another day. Regardless, when you paid your income taxes last spring for 2022, did you include an extra donation to the government over and above your fair share to support your favorite government program or expense? Anybody do that? I didn't think so. Did you include a little extra to support the military in these perilous and fearful times? If you think the police have been under attack, did you send in a little extra to support the men and women in blue? If you think teachers are underpaid, did you include an extra amount requesting it go for teachers' salaries? Now, if you think that is somewhat ludicrous, and I admit that it is, do you appreciate all the government help to take care of your elderly relatives and realize how much it reduces the effort, work, and resources often for your family or even the church? When was the last time you wrote or called your representative and thanked him or her for supporting Social Security, an income stream that provides a major source of revenue for many of us here in the beloved community, including myself, and greatly benefits the budget of our church? As a person beyond the age of 64, surprise, surprise, I am eligible for Medicare, and my Medicare Advantage plan is the best coverage I have ever had in any health plan, and I have had many. My wife is a retired teacher in the state of Michigan, and she was so impressed with my coverage, including prescriptions, dental, and vision, low copays and deductibles, that she gave up her teacher's retirement health care plan, considered to be one of the best, and obtained her own version of Medicare Advantage. And she is thrilled with it. The cost? $0. With all due respect, my Medicare plan eliminates the need for me to ask this church to provide a health insurance plan for me and my family. It is paid for with your taxes and mine. At some point in time, when you hire a younger minister in the future, you will need to do that. But right now, you get off scot-free because of the government. Road construction has been a real bugaboo for me and Deanne in our commute this year, as two bridges between here and Flint have been one lane all summer, resulting in horrific backups, especially during rush hour, and I hate it. This week, they completed one lane on each bridge, and I thought they would delay doing the other side, the other lane, until next spring. I was so looking forward to the return of two lanes in each direction and a freeing up of the traffic lanes. No such luck. They are working now on the other side, and the traffic backups will continue until who knows when, hopefully before the snow flies. But I will be so happy and relieved when it is done. I have gotten to know the Langsburg community quite well. My detour ticks me, and I just like the detours because I don't like being in the traffic situation, especially when you're in the right lane and the construction barrels or signs tell you to get over, and then you have all the cheaters coming up on the other side. And I am so tempted to enter and engage in a little bit of road rage and just pull out there and to make them all back up. Thanks for the trucks that do that for me. But my detour takes me from the Bancroft exit on I-69 west on Grand River through Langsburg, making an occasional stop at the Dairy Den, owned by active members of the Langsburg Congregational Church, and I have had unique conversations with the owner of the Dairy Den. And I have to admit, even in my wife's presence, that their raspberry malts are out of this world also. I think she might know that. Hot pretzels, oh boy, they're good. Well, my route continues west on Round Lake Road to 127, and then south to Lansing. My sanity is kept intact until I reach I-496, where construction yet continues, with barrels and closures, including barricades on my exit to MLK as they continue to work on the overpasses. And by the way, they're doing their work. I am, however, impressed by the amount of work and heavy equipment it takes to build and repair roads. The end result will be glorious. Personally, I would support extra gas taxes for better roads, as I have lived in states where the tax is much higher and the roads are much, much better. I lived in the state of Washington, and I never or rarely remember hitting a pothole. I am supportive of the campaign to fix the darn roads. But, admittedly, I did not send in an extra donation to the state government. I guess that is not the American way. Now, no one likes paying taxes, me included, especially taxes over and above the amount we owe. When Ruth did my taxes this year, she didn't ask, what else are you going to donate? She did give me some options that would lower the taxes. But it might do us well on this consecration Sunday to consider the rather surprising words of Jesus that could be construed as a sanction for divided loyalties and confusing allegiances. Let's take a look at the situation in Jesus' day. What taxes did people pay in first century Palestine? There were land taxes. Many of us are familiar with those. And head or census taxes, like the one we read about in Luke's version of the Christmas story, remember? And all the world went to be taxed. There were indirect taxes. Those were direct taxes. But there were indirect taxes which went either to Rome or possibly to some of the local provinces. There were sales taxes, tolls, duties on transported goods, port taxes, taxes on village fairs, markets, and toll stations along trade routes. While these may sound familiar to us, keep in mind that there was essentially no middle class in Jesus' time, and the system of collecting taxes was utterly corrupt. In Israel, tax collectors were viewed as traitors and thieves. The publicans in Israel collected taxes for the hated Roman Empire. They bought tax collection franchises from the Roman government. Any amount that they collected over and above what Rome required, they could keep them for themselves. Many of them became rich, which added to the resentment and hatred. If you owed the Roman government $1,000, publicans might tell you that you really owed $1,500, and there wasn't much you could do about it. You know the story of Zacchaeus, which you'll hear next week. Okay, all kinds of noises here. That's all right. I've had it happen up here, haven't I? Zacchaeus, we talked about next week with Reverend Art, would have been among the most hated of tax collectors. He had other agents working for him who would then pay him part of the money that they cheated out of the people. That is part of the reason that Jesus was so heavily criticized when he befriended, ate with, and easily forgave tax collectors. Now, when we think about taxes, we too might have been upset when Jesus was friendly with corrupt tax collectors. Not only did first century Palestinians pay all these taxes, but they had to pay temple taxes. Now, it was not a huge tax, but the temple was the center of religious life for Jews and was taken from their pay as a form of forced tithes. There are some churches today which have systems, either stated or unstated, which either directly or indirectly mimic the situation in Jesus' time. Have you ever been a part of a church where your membership or participation meant an obligatory contribution? We will never do that here. So help us God. We might expect Jesus, in response to his harshest critics, take opportunity to express unyielding loyalty to God, defy the hated system of Roman occupation with Jewish complicity in collecting overpayment of taxes through extortion and manipulation, and tell his opponents defiantly that non-payment would have been expected from his loyal followers. But he did not do that. After asking for a coin with the image of the emperor considered a competing god to Yahweh, Jesus spoke words in which we might confidently say he supported the concept of the separation of church and state, which has been eroding in our society slowly but surely, and causes me great alarm. Quite simply, Jesus told us to pay our taxes. I guess I could have asked you to all bring your tax reports this year. Well, we're not going to do that. Maybe you wouldn't want to see mine either. That doesn't mean we can't protest, write letters, or make phone calls to our representatives and use the power of our vote. But I think Jesus would tell us to pay and not complain. Complaining is not good for our spiritual, psychological, or emotional well-being. He said, as you heard, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. Regardless of any disagreement as to how our taxes are used, and we all have them, we will always live in a world where there are competing demands upon our time, our energy, our resources, and indeed our loyalties. Do we pause to help the old man in the grocery store, or do we quickly move on because we have an appointment? Do we serve on yet another board in the church or volunteer to get involved directly in a mission? Do I ignore the abuse of another who another is undergoing at work to protect myself and my paycheck? Do I pocket incorrect change given to me when I pick up the check at a restaurant or give it back thinking it was their mistake? Do I take the time to rewrite a sermon or a pastoral prayer because the world is turned upside down? and it will take some courage to do so? Do I change a sermon to make sure something doesn't offend someone who gives money to our church? Do I show up at a council or neighborhood meeting to speak out even though I might make enemies or get laughed at or believe that my voice will not be heard? Do I believe that I can actually make a difference? Do I recycle my plastic paper or not even bother plastic or paper? Do I participate in church because I feel obligated or because I want to be faithful to God? Do I refuse to retire because of a comfortable salary or because God beckons me to continue in the ministry? What have I done to put actions to my complaints? And do I practice what I preach? The list goes on. Well, let me say this. There's a good ending here, folks. Hang on. We have much to celebrate today. We are called to answer tough questions in life every single day, and we make choices. God grant us the wisdom to do so. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. We were created in the image of God, and it follows that all that we are, and all that we have, and all that we hope to have belongs to God. In the congregational way, what we give, the commitments we make, and the obligations we incur, the priorities we choose are between us and God. We respect personal conscience. We are blessed. And I would be the first to say that God has been good to our church. God has provided resources and motivation to serve Christ in many new ways. We are nearing completion of the LIFT project for the safety and convenience of those whose mobility is or will be challenged. Our membership, attendance, and financial health are on an upward trajectory. We are lifting up those in need with our resources and with our prayers. We are reaching across the street to the school, to our Luton Rich neighborhood, and to the women and children in the rescue mission who need, as Wendy said, to eat nutritious meals, and whose cooks over there deserve a break. We have sent our labors of love to the women in Juarez, Mexico, and to the babies and their mothers in poverty-stricken Haiti. We are reaching out to war victims in Ukraine, the hurricane victims in the south, and the earthquake victims in Turkey. We have been a source of healing to those wounded and hurt by the divisions and strife and then closure of former beloved communities. We will be presenting the completely rewritten and reconceived bylaws on the 12th of November to this congregation after nearly 30 meetings of hard work and sacrifice of time and talent. We have expanded our Christian education program as many have listened for a new perspective on the beloved stories in the Bible with Reverend Art and many more to come. We provide space for those who love music, send cards to as many as we can, give rides, prepare food, clean the kitchen, mop and clean wet floors, trim the bushes, put new shelves in the communion table, plant flowers, paint the basement. Got some work to do there. Fix the roof when it leaks and send the pastor and delegate to annual meetings in Milwaukee and Grand Rapids and Spokane after hosting one ourselves last year. We've increased our support to all the entities of our national, state, and regional organizations which operate sacrificially on small budgets. You have given and given and given more like you are doing today. We will include as one of us those who cannot give and give them the same privileges as anyone else within the beloved community. We will fix the problems and not the blame. We will compliment each other and hold each other to the highest standards of witness to Christ. And like him, we will also forgive, love, and be merciful. We will correct when necessary, encourage always, and welcome all without judgment. We will plant and water and ask God for increase. We will admit when we are wrong, and we will seek forgiveness. We will never get it completely right, and we will recognize how much more we can and should do. We will love till it hurts, work hard, and pray much, and worship joyfully. In so doing, we will continue to be Jesus' beloved community. Thank you, Mayflower. And thanks be to God. Let's celebrate. From this perspective, the sights and sounds of the beloved community are a beautiful thing, and I can't tell you how much I look forward to it. One other thing, today we are reminded that we shall also enter the kingdom as little children, having a model here today. Tabitha, yeah, it's wonderful to have you in our service. So, take your time to greet Tabitha. And here's something, folks. There may be a little rattling around in the cemeteries today of people gone before in the Mayflower Church when they see the choir dancing. But dancing with a certain amount of restraint is just, you can do it here this morning, but the choir will set the pace, and we'll see what happens as we sing in benediction one of the favorite hymns of our congregation. God bless you, and go in peace, and we hope to see you in the Friendship Center. I'll tell you, you didn't think you'd ever see the choir doing this, but getting used to it, folks. And we are looking forward to our time in the Fellowship Center, which continues our worship. And then, as just as a reminder, if you have a pledge card, there's a basket here and a basket there if you must leave or go out that way. Of course, we will continue to take your cards for an indefinite period of time, but many of them brought them today. Let's just celebrate as we go in the grace and peace of God, as we love each other and love God. Amen. I'll get my pledge.